Yes, it is. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Hey, Edward. Hey, Addison. All right, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns. I'll start out with some good news. Pastor Andy Bieber over at the Scotland Community Church, a week ago Friday, he had open heart surgery up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, had an aortic aneurysm and had to have a valve replaced, and they were able to come home last night. Didn't think it was going to be till this next week. The other thing they had to do was actually put a pacemaker in because the heart was just not getting into rhythm. So I talked to him last evening, and he's feeling much, much better. So we praise the Lord for that. Thanks for all your prayers and continued prayers for him. Betty Hoff, she is scheduled to have shoulder replacement surgery on Tuesday down in Yankton. So we want to remember Betty in our prayers. Marilee Hauk, she was supposed to have cataract surgery tomorrow and Tuesday in both eyes. She called this morning. That's been postponed. She's just really struggling with her back, I guess, in a big way. And there's surgery scheduled for that in September. So just hoping to have the back surgery moved up, if possible, put the cataracts sometime later. So just be praying for Marilee. Also, Matha Hess, she was taken over to Freeman Hospital Friday night and should come home this afternoon. Had a, I'll just call it an episode, sort of like my dad's last two episodes. It'd be like a TIA, although they're not calling it that. So she was doing better yesterday evening. Diane Bent, where's Melanie? Any update there? Yeah. Okay. All right. This would be Devin Bent's mom. They live over at Viberg, but she's had like four surgeries in the last 2 weeks on these hematomas in her one leg. So seems to be doing a little better. She's still at the hospital at Sanford. Galen Schaefer, you know Galen and Connie. Galen keeps me updated, and he just asked for prayers for them, for Connie. I don't know if most of you know, she is in the memory unit now at Freeman, the Freeman Care Center. She has early onset dementia, so she's only 60 years old, pretty young. So be praying for them. Also, I mentioned last Sunday, Orville Huber had passed, and this would be Cheryl Herbolt's uncle and Cleo Kepsch's brother. The visitation is this Friday evening from 5 to 7 in Freeman at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. The funeral will be Saturday morning at 10:30, also at St. Paul's Lutheran in Freeman. Anything else? Joys or concerns? Lee. Skylar Heckenleibel, happy birthday. Are you seven? Yeah, all right. Happy birthday to you. Got grandma with you, I see. Good. Okay, anybody else over here? Over here. Greg.
This coming Thursday, the love of my life will have put up with me for 49 years.
Amen. Greg says this coming Thursday, the love of his life has put up with him for 49 years. So praise the Lord. Happy anniversary to both of you. Yeah. Did somebody? Oh, yeah. Ashley.
Friday, Brantley turns 7.
Brantley Holsworth turns 7. This coming Friday. Upcoming Friday. So close to Skylar. Both 7 years old. Happy birthday, Brantley. Yes, McKinley. Your birthday's also on Friday. How old are you going to be? 8. All right. Happy birthday. Okay. Is Joni here today? Hiding out somewhere? Where are you, Joni? There you are. I think today's her birthday, too. Happy birthday. Thought she was going to get away with that one. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. There's lots of needs, lots of rejoicing with these birthdays that were mentioned. And we thank you for these children and adults and other birthdays that were not mentioned, I'm sure. Greg and Melanie's anniversary coming up of 49 years. We thank you for them and your blessings upon them for many years to come. We thank you for Pastor Andy Bieber and his wife Sally, and for bringing him through this surgery so well and allowing him to come back home last night. We pray for continued healing through his body as that all mends back together where they did the open heart surgery. Thank you for renewing his strength. We pray that he can have a time of rest before he steps back into the pulpit. And thank you for all those that are filling the pulpit over there at Scotland in his absence. Just bless them, and we ask your blessing upon that congregation. Lord, for these with health issues, and there's several, we lift up Maitha Hess, and thank you that she's doing better. We pray that she'll be able to come home today. We pray for Betty Holf as she's scheduled for shoulder replacement surgery on Tuesday. Be with Dr. Kudera. Lord, thank you for the gifts you've put within him to do these surgeries. We pray that all will go well for her. We lift up Diane Bent up there at Sanford, who's had a long haul here of 2 weeks in the hospital, who needs your healing touch in a mighty way throughout her body. We pray, Lord, for Mary Lee this morning as she's struggling, and we just lift the timing of these surgeries that she has scheduled. We lift all of this up to you, and in the midst of her move to a different apartment, Father, give her strength and give her your comfort and your peace in every way, we pray. Thank you for Galen and Connie Schaefer. We pray for them, Lord. Thank you for all those that work at the Freeman Care Center and Mental Care Center in Scotland and wherever it might be as they care for individuals day in and day out. But we pray for Connie there in the memory unit. And just thank you for watching over her and Galen during this time. Lord, for those that are in the process of chemotherapy, just be with them, Lord, through the treatments. We pray that they work effectively together with your healing touch and your power. Lord, for the family of Orville Huber at his homegoing, we pray for them this week as they come to his visitation, his funeral, and celebrating his life, the years you gave him on this earth. Father, we thank you for rain. We need the rain, Lord. And we continue to lift that up to you. Thank you for the little showers that you have been providing. Be with the farmers in the midst of silage, cutting, chopping, and all that goes with that. Lord, it's not quite the harvest that we hope for in the spring, but give them wisdom in all the decisions that have to be made and the timing of when to do what. We pray for safety through it all, Lord. We thank you for rain to your creation as it cries out for it. And it just as much the rain of your Spirit upon our nation that we so desperately need. The rain to bring revival. Father, in your time, according to your will, we trust you for that. For our troops, Lord, we lift them up. You know them all by name. We thank you for the many that are a part of our congregation who serve so faithfully, full-time and in the guards. Watch over them, Lord Jesus. Keep them safe. Be with our leaders, our military leaders. Guide them with the right decisions. Lord, our leaders in government in Washington, D.C., and on our local state level here in South Dakota, we ask for your will to be done. Help us to be busy about your business, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to mention one other thing too quick. It was, I think, 2 weeks ago. I wasn't aware of it till after church, but Corbin Alk was here, and he's in the Army full-time, and had I known it, I would have had him stand up, but I see Gary and Julie here this morning, and so he headed back to wherever he is, around Baltimore, Maryland. So we pray for Corbin. And on that note, if you, Julie and Gary, you know where they live, just right by Brian and Jess Gehring, but in Yankton County. And she, if you're in Yankton County, she's running for District 19 in the House of Representatives for Pierre. So our prayers for Julie and all of that. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Amen. Aren't you glad? Yes. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please, today. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we do praise you. So we bring our offerings and our tithes and sow them into your kingdom which is fertile ground, the best ground that there ever could be, that produces a harvest always, as you said, sometimes 30-fold, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. And Lord, our prayer for that would be a harvest of souls, a harvest of the lost who don't know you, that as we proclaim your message here and as we gather in church for whatever time it might be, but more than that, as we go out from here to our places of work and in our friendships, Lord, that people would come to know you through the way we live our lives, Jesus, that you would shine through us as you tell us that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And that is our prayer, that you multiply these gifts for your kingdom, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. All right, if the children want to come, please.
Oops. Okay, dropping things already. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Doing good? Okay, a few more to come up. Oh, I like it. Oh my goodness, that's really cool. Well, you know, Pastor Mike has been teaching us about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do a little review here. Remember after Jesus went to heaven, God sent who to come down and live in us? The Holy Spirit, right. And he's to be with us forever, and he's our helper. And you know what? That kind of reminds me of a helper. Reminds me like of a teacher or your parents. They help you, don't they? They help you to grow up. They help you to learn things. They help you at school. Parents help you at home, right? That kind of reminds us of the helper. And then we also learn that the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He helps us to decide whether we should go this way or that way, do right, not do wrong. He's our counselor. He helps us with making decision. And then we learned that last week that the Holy Spirit is our Comforter, good job. He's our comforter. He comforts us when we need comforting, when we're sad or when we're hurt or anything like that. And you know what? That is the good news, isn't it? This is good news that God doesn't expect us to handle all these situations on our own. No. Hard things come to our lives sometimes. Hurt comes to our lives. But God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us with our troubles and with our challenges. And that is really cool. And one more thing the Holy Spirit does for us is He is our intercessor. That's a big word, isn't it? Say it with me. Intercessor. Okay, you older ones, how many syllables is intercessor? Nope. Try again. Four. Intercessor, right. Four syllables. That is a big word. And you know what that the Bible tells us? That our intercessor, he is someone who helps us pray. And he's someone that takes our requests and our needs up to God. So that reminds me of our hands that are folded. The Holy Spirit, like, when we are sad and we don't know what to pray sometimes, you know, do you ever just feel really sad and you just don't know what to pray? Does that ever happen to you? That happens to me. Sometimes I don't know what to pray, but I ask the Holy Spirit and He helps me pray. And sometimes I get hurt. Maybe it's physical, I fall down. Do you ever get hurt? You ever get hurt, you fall down and you hurt something, or again, like you're inside, you're hurting, your heart's hurting, and you know, He helps us pray, and He goes to God for us. Some other things, like whenever you feel upset, do you ever get mad? Come on, we all get mad, right? You ever get mad? Yes, we all get mad, and I get mad too, and I get so upset, and I just don't even know what to do sometimes. Does that ever happen to you? The Holy Spirit prays for us, and He goes and talks to God for us. He is sometimes not just us either, you know. Do you ever have a friend that might be hurt or feel just really weak, they can't do something, or be sad, and you just don't know what to pray for them, for a family member, or a friend? You can pray, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and He will help you. Now, isn't that pretty cool? The Holy Spirit does a whole lot of things for us, doesn't He? That's what we remember wherever we go, in school, out everywhere, sports events, at home. Remember, you are never alone. Okay, so let's practice this, okay? I want you to say this. Holy Spirit, You're my helper. Holy Spirit, You're my counselor. Holy Spirit, You're my comforter. And Holy Spirit, You're my intercessor. And let's thank Him for it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much that You've given us the Holy Spirit, and He is so much to us, does so many things. We thank You for Him. Thank You that these boys and girls are learning, and we adults are learning and remembering and being reminded we are never alone in what we face. We are never alone. You are always with us. Thank You, and thank You for being with these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to call on You for their help and their comfort and their decision-making, and to pray. And we ask You that You just help them to be a light to wherever they go this week, to shine about You, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Get your papers.
Okay, thank you, Ann. Number 640. 640, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We just have two verses in this hymnal. If we had the screen, we'd put the third up, but we will sing these two. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped my tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. And let's bow in prayer. Father, any time we can come to you, it is a beautiful time. Whether it's just throughout the day as we're doing our work, our chores, maybe having our quiet time, driving the tractor, whatever it might be, working in the factory, we can commune with you as friend with friend. But as we come together corporately, it is all the more powerful. And we know you hear our prayers. And we thank you that you guide us and lead us in prayer by your Spirit. We need your help in prayer. And your word tells us that. And so thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for giving us of your Spirit, filling us with your Spirit each and every day. Lord, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here this morning. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. As Anne said with the children, today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, his work, as he is our intercessor. He helps us in our prayers. Romans 8, starting in verse 18, we see this. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Amen. Now, there's a whole lot in that, those few verses. Our theme, as you, if you've been with us, you know it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. So important to know about this, to talk to him about it. He is our counselor. The counselor leads and guides. He's our comforter. We talked about that last Sunday. He comforts us. He counsels us, number one, through his word. He also comforts us through other believers. We looked at that. Paul said we were comforted by the coming of Titus. And that's on last week's. Go on the internet and listen to it. I can't go into that now. Today, the third point of what he does, he intercedes or prays for us. The Holy Spirit does. You might think, well, I thought Jesus does that. He does. Where's Jesus? Seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, right? That was a little bit weak there. Seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says Jesus ever lived. The Bible says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. He does. The Holy Spirit does too. It's all the Trinity working together. So this first part of verse 18 here, it says all creation groans. All creation groans. I've used this phrase here in the last few months, different times when Ann and I will be talking about things, and I'll say, you know what? The earth is getting tired. One time she said to me, did you hear a minister say that or what? I said, I don't think so. I'm just saying it because it's according to the Bible. The earth is getting tired. As we come closer to the return of Christ, it is. It is getting tired. And these verses bring that out so clear. Verse 18. Listen again. Paul, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing the glory that will be revealed in us. He's talking about two things. Us as human beings, the fullness of our redemption and salvation, which will happen in heaven, and the redemption of our bodies. But he's also talking about this earth, the natural earth that we live on. The creation, in other words, all of nature, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God, that's the believers, to be revealed. Again, this is all talking about after the second coming of Christ is what this is pointing ahead to, okay? But look at this. For the creation, the natural creation, was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. So when do you think that happened? Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the fall of man. The curse didn't just come upon mankind and us being separated from God and being born spiritually dead as we all are. Yeah, that was part of the curse. The curse came on all God's creation. When God said to Adam, because of this, the earth is going to produce for you thorns and thistles all the days of your life, and you're going to toil by the sweat of your brow. So that's all part of the curse, that because of Adam and Eve's sin that came upon creation. All right? That's what he's talking about. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one God who subjected it. God didn't sin, but he was the one that pronounced the consequences, right? Going on, in hope, here we go, that the creation itself, talking about the earth, not us as humans, but this planet, all the planets, all the solar systems, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. The earth, it's pretty obvious, is decaying, and everything on it is subject to decay. That's how it is. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, I want to read something. I got this book recently. It's called Big Trouble Ahead. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's by this minister, Alan Jackson. I quoted him last week. Not the country western singer. This is a minister, Alan Jackson. He spoke, he had a paragraph, and I want to read this because we hear so much now about climate change, climate change, climate change, and get sort of tired of it, honestly. There is no doubt, quoting, that the world's climate is changing, but that is nothing new. The world's climate has been changing since the beginning of time. Climate study, with the aim of controlling that change, has been elevated until it has become a virtual religion. I agree. I think that's true. Has been elevated until it has become a virtual religion. This worldview teaches that everything should be subordinated and subjected to climate control measures. Yeah? That's about it. Going on. The irony is that while we can predict general weather patterns, we cannot even predict with specificity tomorrow's rainfall or where a tornado might touch down. Yet we imagine that with great precision, we can predict climate outcomes a decade or more away. Think about that. Now, do we need to take care of the earth? Yes. I'm all for recycling things, and we do, like newspaper and bottles and things like that. But some of this stuff goes beyond, you know what they talk about with potentially rules on the cattle. Well, you can only have so many cattle per square acre because they produce this methane and it's causing the global warming, and it just gets to the point of ridiculous. The earth is decaying. That's what the scripture says. Where we read it, the creation itself, it has been groaning in the pains of childbirth up until the present time, at the time of Paul, 2,000 years ago. How much more it's decaying? Because guess what? When the time is right, after the second coming of Christ, the millennial reign, so it's a ways down, but the earth will melt with fire. It will be burned up. Revelation talks about the new heaven and the new earth will come down, the new Jerusalem. All will be perfect again at that time. So it's only right. The groanings within, I like to think of the volcanoes, sometimes just like our bellies burp, and sometimes doesn't sound very good if it's a loud one, you know. I'm not going to demonstrate. And the volcano comes, and out spews the lava all over the place. And sometimes, well, I won't say. Sometimes your wife might say to you, that was gross. Anyway, enough on that. This, you know, like he says, it's been elevated to almost a religion that everything else has to be subject to this. What's your carbon number and all this stuff we hear about? Sounds to me like Romans chapter 1, verse 25. God says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Very similar. All creation groans. All right, secondly in this, he goes on. He says, so we as believers, we groan inwardly. Okay, going on with verse 23 in Romans 8. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, as believers we're filled with His Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. You might be thinking, well, I sort of thought I already am adopted as a son or a daughter of God. You are. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are. You are His adopted child. But this adoption is, He's going a step further in it, the redemption of your bodies. In other words, when the fullness of our salvation happens and we receive our resurrected, glorified body, that's yet to come. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here having aches and pains and surgeries and all the things that we have on this earth. Okay, we groan, we wait for that. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. And then he goes on, talking about that hope. In hope we wait patiently. Well, we're supposed to, right? Sometimes in hope We don't wait so patiently. I hope it'll be tomorrow, whatever it is. Kids especially. Oh, my goodness, when we come close to Christmas. Is it tomorrow? No, is it tomorrow? How many more days? Or maybe sometimes with the little kids, it's, well, how many more sleeps? How many more sleeps until Christmas, meaning nights, right? But we groan, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, especially as those golden years come on and there's more struggles. This year, I think, has been the first time with my dad that I have ever heard him say, and he's 88 and a half now, that I've ever heard him say this year, it's really not fun getting old. Because he's been in the hospital 3 times since January. That's quite a bit for if you're never really used to being in the hospital. And he said that a couple times. But, you know, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, therefore we don't lose heart, though the outward man is perishing, that's this body. In other words, it's subject to decay. We all know it is. You guys that are gals that are still in your 20s and that, you think, no. We all thought that too when we were 20. But it happens. Things happen. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly, spirit, in our spirit being, we are being renewed every day. Though the outward man, yeah, maybe there's struggles more, but you know what? On the inside, as we go along in years, we should be grown stronger in the Lord all the time. And I think of my dad, and I'm not bragging on him or anything, but he was able to preach up there at Winfred, South Dakota, until he was 83. Every Sunday, preached at that little church for 16 years. And now this 5 years and a half that they've been in assisted living, most weeks he still does a devotion every Wednesday for the residents in that care facility. And it's more of a struggle, but he just wants to do it. He wants to do it. So as believers, we groan inwardly. Okay, how does this come into prayer, you might be asking. We're getting there, the next point. So it says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Intercession is a type of prayer. It's what it means, okay? Verse 26, he starts out, Romans 8, in the same way as what? In the same way as all of the natural creation is groaning for its redemption, in the same way that we as believers are groaning within, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, in that same way, he says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. What's our weakness? He says it right there. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Now, we think we do, and we do in a sense, but to the fullness of it, not always. We do not know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he, that's the Father, who searches the hearts, knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. They work together perfectly, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He, God, there's many scriptures I could give, it's God who searches the heart. God, the Father, who searches the heart, knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. Where, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, where's the Holy Spirit living? In your human spirit. He's living within you. Because the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints, that's who we are as believers, in accordance with God's will. So his prayer is always perfect, because he is perfect. So we groan in these bodies. Here, example, I just saw in my notes here, I'm reminded of. I don't know if you've seen this. I think it's on, well, I won't say the channel because now I'm not sure. But Mark Spitz, remember Mark Spitz? He was an Olympic champion, 1972. He was an Olympic swimmer. He won 7 gold medals in swimming, the most decorated medalist of that Olympics, 1972. Now, he is 72 years old. And the first time I saw this commercial, because I was 10 years old when he was doing this, so I remember it was probably on the box of Wheaties cereal or something with all those metals around him and just, you know. Well, at 72, he doesn't look so, sorry to say. When I saw him, I actually, when he was talking before he said who he was, I had no clue that was Mark Spitz. And he said it, and I'm like, wow. I actually got my phone, Googled Mark Spitz, and looked up a picture of with him, all the gold medals around his neck. I'm like, yeah, happens to all of us. Happens to all of us. Now he advertises Relief Factor for his aches and pains. Try Relief Factor. I did. The bodies decay. They do. But inwardly, we are renewed day by day. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. What? If you're doing your outline, number one there, the Holy Spirit prays for us. He prays for us in our life situations. Because He is God, He sees the big picture, He knows the end of the story, we do not. We know day to day, and yes, we have to plan and we pray and we seek God for His will, and that's why we got to be asking Him always in prayer for His will for our lives. Even when we think we might have everything planned out to the end, we don't know. So these groanings, what does that mean? It can mean, on one hand, it's just a grieving within. That's on one hand. I was trying to think of a recent example, and what came to my mind was like that shooting down at Uvalde, Texas this spring of all those kids. What grades? Third, fourth grade in there? You know, when you hear that, you just almost groan within, you know. It's a grieving in prayer. It is. And that's the Holy Spirit within you in that praying. And as you pray for the situation or whatever it might be, we hear of these things. The other side of it, I believe, and I've experienced it, so it comes in with the gift of tongues. It's Corinthians speaks about speaking in other tongues. So, yeah, do I talk about that much here? No, I haven't. Is it a gift I've experienced? Yes, it is. I've mentioned it different times over the years. I've never done it publicly. But I'm going to tell this account. First, this goes back to when we were with the Navajos. I'm going to give you my Navajo greeting. A lot of you heard it. Some of you haven't. Because I could speak some Navajo, all right? You might think I'm speaking in other tongues, but I'm not. I'm going to speak to you in Navajo if I were given a greeting, okay? That eshikwa sine, sheya Michael Hecht, yinishya, tsitnajini nishle, tsedish gizli bashishchin, hashk ahadzoha dashiche, tsenjikine dashinele, akut ego eya dine nishle, ado diengad be away nishle. I'm not going to give you all that interpretation because I won't have time. That was not speaking in tongues. That was in Navajo, okay? I learned that greeting. I could read the Bible phonetically in Navajo on a Sunday morning to where they understood it because it was written with English letters, but just different sounds. I could not preach a whole sermon in Navajo if I took the time, which was hours, to write it down in Navajo. I could read it to you, but just to get up and go, blah, 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 you know, I couldn't do it. I'm telling you that because. So a full year before we moved from Cameron, Arizona to Timber Lake, I, as was our pattern was at that church in Cameron, I would, whoever, sometimes Ann would pick up the people with the van, sometimes I would. This was a Sunday night. She was picking up people. I was at church getting ready. And I was down front at the altar just kneeling there praying out loud in English, praying out loud in other tongues by the Holy Spirit. Did you know what you were praying in other tongues? No, because it's a language I had not learned. It's by the Holy Spirit, as it was on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. So I'm praying back and forth both of those ways. Anyway, unbeknownst to me, one of the grandmas from the church had come in. She was standing inside the back door, which you got to figure, our church was only, if you take the size of this platform, maybe a little bit wider, was 30 feet by 60 feet. So just say I'm up here at the altar praying. She had come in so quietly. She's at the back door, just standing inside that back door, listening. I didn't know it. Got up, done with my prayer. Oh, hi, Lucille. I didn't hear you come in. Hi, you know, yeah, hey. We give our greeting and that. And she said nothing. Sat down. We had church. In this time, Ann and I were sensing that a move that was coming in our time of ministry, but we didn't know what. So we were praying, just asking God, what is your will for our lives? I thought I'd be with the Navajos all of my lives, but then God started working as he does. We began praying together about it. Lord, show us what, show us what. Well, he did in time, in his time. So 3 months before we move, we know we're moving. We announce it to the church on that Sunday morning. Lucille, that woman who about a year before, come up to me after church. And this is still just incredible to me, even when I think about it. She said, you know that Sunday night when you were praying up front and you didn't know I was back there? I remember it. Yeah, it was just an unusual night. She said, I knew you guys were going to be moving. We had said not a word to anybody. I said, how did you know that? That night, you were up there praying in the most perfect Navajo that I have ever heard, praying about this move that was coming up in your life and ministry. I said, thank you for sharing that to me. Because, you know, if you've ever made a move, a transition, however it might be, a lot of times there's a second guessing involved in it, changing career, whatever, right? We were second guessing ourselves. I had spent trying to learn Navajo, but again, I could never get down there and begin to pray about that in my own Navajo that I had learned. Couldn't do it. I said, thank you for sharing that. What a confirmation that was to us. Lord, I guess we're hearing right from you. I wasn't sure if I was going to do that, but I did. Told you about it. So there you go. We don't know. Here's a quick example from Scripture on just the week before the cross. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, two of the 12 disciples, this is in Matthew 20. Their mother comes to Jesus and said, can I ask you for a favor? And he says, well, what do you want to ask? Well, Lord, I want, when you come in your kingdom, I want these two boys of mine, James and John. All the moms love your boys, don't you? I want these two boys of mine. Can you grant that one would sit on your right and one on your left when you come in your kingdom? She thought that'd be a pretty cool thing. And what did Jesus say to her? You do not know what you are asking. Can you, and then he turns to James and John, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? They said, yeah. They had no clue what was coming, the cross. Thought they knew. We a lot of times think we know what's best, but that's why we have to have God involved in his Spirit. And even when he is involved, does that mean it's going to be just smooth sailing? No, not at all. We talked about that when we talked about the Holy Spirit being our counselor. No, it could be very rough sailing. As the times as we made our move, it wasn't just easy. But when God gives those confirmations and to you and you know what he told you, then you hang on to that. Lord, I know you told us that through this woman. We know. So in the rough times, that's what gets you through, in addition to God's word. He prays for us. He prays with us. All right. All right, I got to wind it down. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for. Johnny, could you help me with something, please, real quick? This won't take too long. All right, you know what? This is the Holy Spirit right there, Johnny. I'm praying. I got this big load in my life that I need to move, and so I'm asking, come up to the piano, please, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us. That word, it means he takes hold together with us in the struggles of our life. He does. But there's a point here, so I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I need your help to move this piano from here over to there. Will you help me do it? Yes. Okay. All right, let's go. Okay, go. Can't you do it? I need you to help me. Now, we can't expect him to do it all. No, we have our part to do in it too, right? We have our part to do in it. Walking by faith, trusting him, moving is what we know to do in our lives. The last thing in your job, your career, your schooling, whatever, if he hasn't told you something different, then you keep going with what you're doing until he tells you something different. It's the easiest way to say it. So, Holy Spirit, this is what I'm feeling God wants me to do with this load. I think we need to move it from here over there. I need your help. Will you take hold together with me? Yeah, we got to watch our cords. Oh, that's about as far as we can go. Okay. Or the light will fall off the piano. Thank you, Johnny. Holy Spirit there. He takes hold together with us in these things. And that's what that word in the Greek means. So ask him. Tell him, Lord, this is what I sense, but I'm not sure if it's your will or not. So I'm going to start this way, and if it's not, then I need you to show me. I need you to shut the door. I need you to do something. Amen? He's our intercessor. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit living within. I don't know how we would go forward even without you, without your strength. When we are weak, you are strong. And Lord, you said in Deuteronomy to the tribe of Asher, there is no one like the God of Israel who rides the heavens to help you. And on the clouds in his majesty, and underneath are your everlasting arms. So, Father, maybe there's someone here today who's really struggling with a situation. They don't know which way to go, but you do, Lord. And I ask that you'd guide them, lead them, make the path clear, Father. And just hold them in your everlasting arms as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And that's where our closing hymn comes from, that scripture, number 575, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's stand, please. Joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. We'll sing as a prayer for our nation, God Bless America. And could I have a cordless microphone up here too, please? God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this is how we'll do it. I'm not going to come back and greet this morning. Although I love greeting you all, but since we're going to be sharing about the conference meetings, if you need to go, that's fine. You can go ahead and leave and be dismissed and have a wonderful day. If you want to stay, we'll just go into that with Greg and Ann and myself sharing. So, okay, have a wonderful day. God bless you. We have one more Sunday, 9:30 church, and then next we go to 10:30 church. God bless you all. Okay. So you want us to go ahead then, or what? Huh? Are we waiting, or you? Well, go ahead. No. Okay. All right. This doesn't need to be recorded. Okay. These were the 74th, it was the 74th annual gathering of the Four C's. Maybe while just a quick introduction, the Four C's, the denomination was formed in 1948, and it was actually on the congregational side, this big merger that happened in 1957, that made the United Church of Christ of what we used to be a part of. You know, that was the evangelical and reformed and the congregational Christian that came together on that. Well, that took, I'm sure, 10 years or more in the discussions for that thing to happen. Well, this was this group more on the congregational side of that merger that said back in 1948, we don't think we like where we think this whole thing is headed. So they stayed out, and that's how this denomination was formed. Okay? So there are, as I've said probably every year, there are many Reformed churches such as ours in the denomination. There's a lot. So I'm not going to go into all that, but do you want to go first then? Oh, I knew you did. Okay. Oh, you took yours off. Okay. All right.
Thank you. It's always such a wonderful opportunity to go there, so we just really thank our church for sending us there. This is really exciting. I haven't been to Rhode Island yet, but at the end of our trip, though, we all agreed we do not want to live there. There are too many people. Everybody's too close together. All the houses are too close together, and there's too much traffic, and yeah. It's really loud. So anyway, but some of the things I really loved about it was, of course, just being all together. Same-minded likeness, believers in God, lovers of Jesus, and that was the really exciting old, you know, people that were in their 80s, 90s, all the way down to, there could have been a few teenagers there. This is the first time that they didn't have things for the children or the youth. So, not sure, maybe in the future they'll start that up again, but since the pandemic, they just, sometimes wherever the conference is, they may not have enough people to do it. So anyway, I really love the worship time in the morning. Three of us, we participated in the prayer time in the morning, and that was just really an awesome time where we worshiped with this person, and then we just prayed for just the conference and everything, and that was really special. We went to different classes, each of us did. I went to three of them, but the one I really thought was really interesting, and Mike went with me, was it's called Developing Better Bible Study Skills. It's like we're always growing, right? There's always something. And I tell you what, this guy is pretty amazing, but he only had, like, how long were they anyway? 30 minutes? 40? 40 minutes, but this thing is like 10 pages long. He hit everything, all kinds of things about what you do when we're reading the word and taking into consideration and everything. And I did bring extra ones. So if anyone wants a copy of this, because it's just full of information. I mean, full of learning things. How you take into account, you know, the culture, who is speaking to, how do you relate to us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just really good. So I'll be glad to copy that for anybody that would like that. You just have to let me know. His name is also on there. And he'll be glad to answer any questions. The other thing, all the speakers were just phenomenal. It was just really neat. After not being there for 2 years, just powerful. Just some of these young guys that spoke were just so on fire for God. It was neat, you know, us being, you know, 60s and up there, or 70, to see this younger generation on fire, and that was very exciting. And I'll just say a couple of things from one of our head, one of the head speakers, Ed Stenson. Stetzer. I get it wrong every time. They might talk about him too, but we had him for two sessions, and Michael can tell you more about who this guy is. But he just really encouraged everyone that, you know what, we are in a lot of cultural confusion, which we all know that. For the last 2 years, the pandemic, political division, weather changes, all of these things are happening. And he says they're not going to go away anytime very, very soon, you know. So we've got to be prepared. We've got to enlarge our reservoirs of Bible knowledge, of time with God, of prayer. And they really, almost all the speakers talked about being together in community, praying together, finding your group, finding your Bible study, whatever it is. But we have to be prepared because these times are hard. And the world, he said, is looking at us. How are we dealing with all of these things? Because you know what? They're confused too. They're just not admitting it. And there's so much evil going around, and there's so many decisions our children have to make. He said that, he made this statement too, I'm not, he said our culture is being disciplined, or our children on us are being disciplined by the internet and social media. And that is kind of true, because it's so accessible, and they can see all of that stuff. You know, so we as a church, we need to just keep doing what we're doing and plug in there and be praying for our children. And so he was just really encouraging us. He said, be like firefighters. Don't run towards the fire. Run towards it with your prayers, with your presence. Don't run away from it. And I'll let these guys, they might add more to it. But anyway, very encouraging. The other thing is, you can go on the website, the 4Cs. Just Google it and Google the conference. They have, I just looked last week, three of the speakers are on there, their video or audio. I don't know, his wasn't yet, but maybe by now it is. So you can go on, listen to them in some of the classes that were held. So you can get a taste of it. Anyway, it's really awesome. And next year, hope you go.
Well, yeah, glorious time and a blessing. Glorious time and a blessing, by all means. At this meeting, I was elected again for another 3-year term as treasurer of the 4Cs, so I praise God for that, because I do thoroughly enjoy it, especially during our time now. I think back 5 years ago and where the 4Cs was at financially, and we were strapped. A lot of volunteers, a lot of people that were hired by the 4Cs that were not being paid. We were upside down, and happy to report now we are sitting with about $1,700,000 in unrestricted funds. We've had 2 or 3 blessings that have came our way. From bequests, individuals that we knew nothing about, but when they passed, they were gracious enough to send money our way. And so that has in itself been a blessing. I mean, it's definitely where you just say praise God. Revenue-wise, let me start off by saying, too, as far as the conference goes, yeah, Ed Stetzer, his teaching was great. We had an individual by the name of Drew Peterson that spoke first, if I remember right, and there was testimony involved in that, which was fantastic. Probably the highlight of the whole trip was Marilee Houck. To tell you the truth, to be able to be involved and see someone that has never been to a gathering, come to a gathering, and as you all know, Marilee doesn't meet a stranger, and half the time I was trying to find her and she'd be off somewhere talking to somebody, and it was just great to see. And you laugh, you cry, every emotion you can imagine comes out at these annual gatherings. And as Ann stated, it is just a blessed time to be together with fellow believers that love the Lord and worship and praise. It's powerful. And as it was, someone asked where the next gathering is at, and that will be coming up next July again, and that'll be in St. Cloud. And my wish and my prayer is the participation of our church being there. I want to thank, too, the church consistory for their support and the help of sending us. It's very much appreciated. And I just really truthfully hope that next year we can really show a presence from South Dakota. I take a look when I first started as treasurer, and Salem Reformed Church was South Dakota. And now 7 churches, I believe. Yep, 7 churches. Armor was just accepted to come in to the 4Cs. But we have 7 churches involved in the 4Cs now in the state of South Dakota. So don't be surprised if we have an annual gathering in Minnow. We're outgrowing the conference, and praise God for that. One big highlight I had the last plenary session that we had, Pastor Ron Hamilton, our conference minister, led that. And two things came out of that. One, I first time got to see him break down, and that was fantastic. Of course, I think just about everybody in there was crying. But one thing he said, which really struck home to me, was we always pray for revival in this nation, but why aren't we praying for revival within ourselves? It starts with us. We can, and it's a good thing to pray for revival in our nation, but we should be asking God to revive us and start there. And that struck home. It really did. You know, 3 points of the 4 C's is to love God, to love others, and make disciples along the way. And in my mind, I've always looked at as a disciple being one of the 12. And really, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. And that's exactly what we are. We're all disciples of Jesus. And you look at it in that term, and it kind of grounds you a little bit, but also humbles you, and knowing that it's our responsibility and job to bring others to the Lord. Yeah, again, thank you. Great, great session. They always are. I'm going to real quick, though, because that's kind of my job is talk about finances. And as I mentioned, we are in a very strong position right now with the 4 C's. Last year, we surpassed our budget. We also surpassed our 2020 revenues. By the tune of about 20%. And that was through each and every one of you and each and every one of our churches and their giving to the 4 C's. I take a look at where the 4 C's are at now. We're still grounded, not only by faith, but we're grounded in a small conference. We're not losing our heads. We're not crazy. We have some excellent leaders. I also serve on another board, and you know, I take a look at the finance committee, and each one on the finance committee is adhering to God and adhering to the fact that we are not going to go crazy with spending. But what we do is seek the Lord in prayer at our meetings, as the board does for the 4 C's. That's another beautiful thing to see. We're discussing different things within our conference, and somebody said, well, we got to pray over this, and we stop and pray. Sometimes our board meetings last a little, as Pastor Mike knows. They do go on, but there's no hesitation in praying. It's a praying conference, without a doubt. This year, we're a little bit behind 21, but that's expected. Our main resources come on the last quarter of the year. They always have. So I know by faith, I have no hesitation in saying we'll surpass 21 in revenues. And with that, we've been able to add on our 4 regional pastors. And these men are doing a fantastic job. Some of them carry up to 13 states. I mean, they're on the road all the time. And I'm sure most of you know Pastor Ray DeLorean, who is our regional pastor here. I don't know how many times he's been into our state, but it's quite a few. And I know he's planning on coming back and giving another session soon. But they're all that way. They have got massive territories. But it's bringing a presence of the 4 C's locally, so that we're not a conference that's sitting back there and hiding. Our payroll is very small compared to normal conferences or senates or whatever you want to call them. I know our auditors praised us, our budget. We were about 3% of our payroll is involved in our budget. We have the majority of people are volunteers. I'm a volunteer. Board members are volunteers. So payroll-wise, we don't spend a lot of money. But yet, the growth that we're seeing with the Four C's has been just unbelievable, from conference care to church multiplication to church development. If you do get a chance, please get on the website and just take a look at what we are doing at this time, and it's really amazing to watch. We had our audit on March 28th, 29th, and 30th of this year. I was able to go up to our home office in Lake Elmo, Minnesota, and sat in during that audit. And the auditors are just super pleased where we're going and where we're at. No violations were accounted for, so that's all going really well. Expenses are up, which is understandable with inflation. Travel with our regional pastors, but as far as an office, we have Pastor Ron Hamilton, who is full-time on payroll. We have three others that are part-time in our office, and that's basically it. That's running our whole conference. And the day's going to happen when Pastor Ron Hamilton is going to retire. We all know that. I keep joking with him, telling him that his contract, he doesn't know it, but it has a 50-year term, in which he's 4 years older than I am, and he laughs about that all the time. But we've already set up 10-year projections. We know where we're going. The new conference minister that would come in is not going to be blindsided about what do we do, where are we at, what are we going. Pastor Ron has made sure that we've got all that set up, so... yeah, it's just going great. But anyway, again, I'm going to turn it over. But pray about it. Let it work on your heart. Next year, St. Cloud, it would just be super if we could have a lot of attendees. I know you'd all be blessed. If you haven't been to one before, it's just an unbelievable feeling. So thank you again.
Thanks, Greg. And Dan, yes. The Armor Community Church is their name now, and they just have, Ray Delorier has been there a couple times, met with them. Greg and I went there in the middle of the pandemic, the early onset of it actually, and shared, and so they've applied for membership, been received. I'll be going over there in September to do a sort of a final interview with their board. So we have Menno and Scotland Community Church, Parkston Congregational Church, Loomis and Letcher, they're both north of Mitchell there, Armour and Huron, that makes seven churches now in South Dakota, so it's exciting. Back to the conference real quick, there were 292 adults that were registered, so it was a good group there. It was in the Hotel Convention Center, which is always nice because if you need to run back to your room quick, you can, to get something. The last time it was in St. Paul, it was at a college campus, so then the motel rooms were at a different place. But this next year, it is at the River's Edge Convention Center in St. Cloud, Minnesota, July 10 through the 13th. So, and thank you, yes, for sending us and allowing us to be there. It's a time of encouragement for me. It always is a highlight of my summer. The theme was On This Rock from Matthew 16, when Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, will not overcome it." So, this Ed Stetzer, I really enjoyed him too.